Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daryl Hurz, and this is Bridge the Atlantic.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. If you're new here, consider subscribing for more episodes. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcy Novelli from Canada. When I'm not releasing music or doing this show, I'm producing records or vlogging as the Crazy Vegan.
Before we jump into the interview, we just want to let you know that we are on Patreon and you can become a Bridger from as little as $1 per month. You'll gain access to our exclusive new Encore series featuring never-before-seen videos with our guests, and your support will allow us to keep bringing you weekly videos here at Bridge the Atlantic.
Yes, absolutely. Sign up on Patreon. You can also head on over to our website to pick up one of our shirts. If you use the coupon code BTARocks, you'll receive 20% off your order as our way of saying gracias.
So joining us this week out of Toronto is Daryl Hurz, owner and program director of Indie Week. Indie Week is an annual music festival held over 4 days and nights featuring local and international acts performing in the heart of Toronto, Canada.
Indie Week's showcases are judged by members of the music industry, and the top scoring act receives a paid trip to headline Indie Week UK. In this interview, we're going to find out more about how artists can successfully apply for festivals like Indie Week and the advice Daryl would offer to bands and musicians in general. Hey, Daryl, welcome to Bridge the Atlantic.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We like to get things started off very awkward because that's just how Ross and I roll. So why don't you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know?
Three things. My background is in music. I started playing guitar at 14, and I actually studied at Grant McEwen Community College in composition. So my background is a performer and composer first. Then I went on, part of my career was graphic design, and I freelanced. The story is kind of interesting as a start, but basically I quit my job at HMV and ended up in a graphics program, and through freelance, I actually ended up doing work for Live Nation. So was able to do some pretty cool, interesting work there. I helped rebrand the company, so a pretty big gig. And I started Indie Week. This is our 15th year, so it's been my complete focus for the last 15 years.
Can you break down what are some of the main benefits for artists who are playing at or attending festivals and conferences, particularly kind of now in 2018, and how they can make the most of the experience while they're there?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, an interesting thing that's come out of discussions lately, and I just finished a tour of like 6 conferences and festivals in South America. So it's been seeing a lot and seeing what festivals do and conferences do and differences and similarities. And I think they're actually incorrectly named, right? I think of festival is where it's kind of more like, say, a Lollapalooza, a Bonnaroo, where it's bands playing and that's it. That's what a true festival is. A conference is panels and all that. But I think in terms of business, I think the term convention is actually kind of more apt to a festival that has conference. Like there's a music component, but there's also the industry component. And it's kind of like, you know, if I worked for IBM, every 6 months, there's a convention I have to go to and learn about what the new products are, what the new trends are, how am I going to better sell our product and all of that. So I kind of think this is more of like the festivals that I run or work with is kind of more of like a convention. And it's all about really, here's what we're doing. Is anyone interested? And trying to make that sort of relationship where future business can happen after that event happens and takes place. So a lot of these kind of cases, the artist showcases are good, but a lot of place where the artist should put focus on is what industry is here Who can I talk to? Who can I connect with? Because they're all in one spot at one time. And, you know, I think a lot of mistakes is there hasn't been any pre-planning to that before the event. So like when I go to an event, I'm like hitting up people I know that's going to be there, local businesses that I don't even know if they're attending or not. But if I'm going to be in a city and there's like a record label, a producer, I'll email them and see it if we can have a meeting. And I think that's the biggest thing is artists miss the point of it's all about the stuff that happens off the stage in behind the scenes that make the stage successful. Mm-hmm. So take advantage. Like when there's a lot of delegates in industry, artists should be in meetings all day long and talking to these people and selling what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely all about the long game, the relationships and, you know, everything that's built. I would love to hear a little bit about how artists can submit to your festival or convention, if we're going to change the name,
right.
kind of in particular, and how you choose your artists. Like, what's the criteria that you're looking for?
The submission process, we've got two ways to submit. We've gone through, like, we use Sonic Bids, and there's that stigma. Some artists hate it, some artists love it. But as response, we've also created our own, where it's just a simple PayPal system. Regardless, all artists have to fill out the same form, so we're getting the same information whichever way they get to us. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Sonic Bids thing, like I'm just going to dive in because there's always this sort of online argument about it. When I first started, we would take in like mail-in submissions, and my office would have stacks of envelopes, and each application was completely unique and different. Like I got a box of chocolates with one. I got bubble wrap with balloons in a different one. And it actually made it more time consuming as opposed to, I just want to hear music. And I often found the more packaging there was, the actual music was more lacking than the real simple, here's my CD and music. So Sonic Bids was kind of like the first online platform that made that process easy. And it's still easy on the back end for organizing submissions, like not losing, like where's this one or that one. And it's also like there's a rating system and a communication system. So that part's actually really favorable in the sense that it makes our job easier to actually get through hundreds of submissions and do that process well. The other thing I do like about it is that everybody's on the same playing field. Like the websites, our EPKs, and they're all the same. And the focus is, for our end, is the music. It's not the design of the EPK. So we're really looking at just the raw, what's the bio, what is the artist doing? So that part's good. Our PayPal submission, we built our own backend rating system so that it's organized, and there's a lot of automation on it as well. Took us some time to build that, and it works great right now. So both are good, and basically we just let the artists, like, it's their choice as to how to submit. As far as being successful in what we're looking for, first is the music. We listen to absolutely everything. And I enjoy that actually when I'm at the festival and artists meet me and I'm like, oh, you're the band with that breakdown in the middle. And they're like, you listen to it? And I'm like, yeah, I absolutely did. So that's a very important thing to me, is when I meet the artist to be able to have that connection already. So everything is absolutely listened to. And style-wise, you know, we look for what we think is good first. Like we've had a band called the Mad Violinist and Symphony Crack Orchestra, which is crazy and you wouldn't think is marketable, but, and there was no singer in the band. It's the voice is the violin. They ended up winning our Indie Week Ireland, and we brought them here and they did amazing. Like by the end of the week, they were packing the bovine. So our genre range is broad and we're looking for something that we think is unique. The one thing about programming is in each genre, we can only accept certain amounts. So One year, for instance, there was a lot of really great acoustic artists, like a lot. And we were like, wow, can we say yes to like 80 acoustic artists? I don't think so. So we have to even whittle that down to like 20, 30, sometimes 40. But it's very competitive in that sense. There's a lot of great artists out there. There's a lot of ones that aren't ready yet too. So I think maybe the mistake some artists make is applying before they're ready. Like they don't have all their ducks in a row. And they have to see from our end where it's like, man, I've got two great rock bands, but only one spot left. What's the deciding factor? You know, we delve into the history, the background, who they worked with, what they're doing. Is their website even up to date? There's sometimes, like I was on a band's website and the last update was 2014.
I want to jump in. You said, and you have one spot left. Is there truth? We've had other festival and convention organizers on the show in the past. And they did confirm my theories that it is much more viable to apply to a festival early.
Yes.
Because spots do fill up. You got to admit, there's no way you sit back until the entry period is completely done and then choose your artist. You're choosing as you go. You have to be.
We have to do rounds.
Yeah.
Right? And in fact, I just got out of a quick huddle here at the office where we're already talking about, can we make an announcement in February? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like, can we make an announcement, and where it's some of the artists on our end, we do that. Like the early applications are absolutely crucial. And part of the thing is our process is we listen to the artists. We kind of go with, like, our first part of the system is yes, no, maybe. Like some artists, you just know right off the bat. No, some man, this could, I don't know. Maybe. Let's come back to it. So we will listen again and again throughout the year. If like there's some artists that like, man, it's they're on that cusp where this could be amazing or completely the opposite of amazing.
Right.
And those are hard decisions. So it's not like we make the decision right then and there. We come back to it.
I want to go into Sonic Bids a little bit. Sonic Bids is pretty much universally despised by musicians. That might be a bold claim, but I know most musicians I know are not fans of Sonic Bids. And I do want to applaud IndieWeek for having a second option, for having the PayPal option. The issue I have personally with Sonic Bids is they just charge so much money to simply make your material public. You know what I mean? I can understand if they would justify saying that it's for their servers, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, my stuff, for example, just talk about me, my stuff's already there. You just got to make it public. I'm not asking for that for free. But, you know, having to pay $130, $140 bucks a year just to make that public. And then on top of that, having to pay for every festival convention that you apply to, that is a bit, feels like robbery to me. You know what I mean? As a musician who you really have to be smart on where to put your money, it just doesn't seem right. I know you don't work for Sonic Bids and you can't comment on that. Mm-hmm. That's just something I want to put out there. It's frustrating. That's what it is, you know? And leading to that, this is something I've been asked to talk about a little bit. So I want to divert the question a little bit to you. Because the question that I have, this is separate from Sonic Bids, this deals with festivals. Second, the question I have that I think a lot of my fellow musicians also have is how most festivals justify charging a submission fee, the dreaded pay-to-play model, when they often have sponsors and most of the people involved are volunteers. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. First, I don't look at it as pay-to-play, because true pay-to-play is renting a venue, paying for it, and you play. Or a buy-on, which takes place everywhere in this industry. If you want to go on a national tour, you pay to get on that tour. So it's a buy-on, right? Everything costs money. Like I pay staff to listen, right? And sometimes it's more than once. And then I pay staff to post everything onto the websites and social media and all that. So it's just, there's a lot of cost involved. Now, on the other hand, we did use another format one year, a competition to Sonic Bids, and part of their model is it has to be free. So we did try free 1 year. And one, you get a lot of like, that was a mom and dad in the basement playing. And they're definitely not ready. And, you know, the end result was actually quite bad for us. Part of the, when we go into an agreement with like a Sonic Bids or any of their competitors, there's an agreement that a certain set of slots have to be set aside for applications through that system. So for Sonic Bids this year, I believe it's 75 performance slots must be programmed through Sonic Bids. So there is a level of guarantee that artists are being selected from that process. Now, when we went through another system and it was free and we had to hold spots for it, at like when we finished listening, we're like, I wouldn't take one of these artists. And now we actually have to devalue our festival by putting in less quality artists to a certain number. And it was a very hard year.
So it helps to wean out some people that might not be as serious. I think because if you've got to spend money, I think you're going to, for the most part, make sure that your stuff's in order. Unless, like you said, there's some people who aren't, but maybe they're not aware that their stuff's not in order. But, you know, it does help wean people out. And I do want to comment. Yeah. I personally, as an artist, don't really have that much of an issue paying to submit to a festival. I get it. You guys are doing a lot of work. You've got staff to pay. I'm not. For me, it's more the issue with Sonic Bids. And I mean, I don't want to take on Sonic Bids. I'm not taking on that thing. But I do. Yeah. I do challenge Sonic Bids to maybe, you know, bring down their fees a little bit. But that's a separate thing. I think Sonic Bids, they put out some great articles and everything. And a lot of our past guests have actually written Sonic Bids articles. But I'm just saying the model doesn't work. It definitely doesn't work for me. And I don't know anyone who likes it. But let's lighten things up a little bit. Let's lighten things up. Are you ready for 20 questions?
19. 20, just to mess with 20, you. Just kidding.
Here we go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat. Twitter, I'm from Alberta.
Twitter or Facebook?
Ooh, Facebook.
Now, this isn't a trick question. Indie or major?
Indie.
CD or
100%.
Vinyl?
100%. Vinyl.
Toronto or Manchester?
Both. Sorry.
Come on. Education or experience?
Education leads to experience.
Nice.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel, 1,000%.
Ghosts or aliens?
Ghosts.
Talent or attitude?
Talent.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Microsoft or Apple?
Apple.
Ice hockey or baseball?
I'm Canadian. Hockey.
Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Vampires or zombies?
Vampires.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Jackson.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Manson.
Nice. Good. That's the right answer. Actually, no, Celine Dion's great at what she does too. Don't get me wrong. Anyway,
exactly.
I digress.
Oh, yeah.
Whale or kale?
Sorry, say that again?
Whale or kale?
Whale.
I always get a kick out of people not understanding Ross. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Riddler.
And your final question, Ross or Marcio?
Ooh. I'm going to go with the accent on this one.
Oh, just and I played your festival.
It's unique.
My film was at the first riff. Like, come on, what's going on?
I know.
Wow. How does that make me feel? For artists who have never applied to a festival before, what actionable advice, very quickly, can you give them to help make the process easier, increase their chance of success?
I think in everything, festivals industry is what's the story that's going on with the artist? And as many more talking points there are, the better it is. Image is everything as well, even though people try to say it's not. We often see a photo before we listen to the music, and it does put a picture, like it represents what sound it'll probably be before we even hear it. But talking points is really important. And, you know, again, it's like, if you're not ready, it's better to attend and start building your story from as an attendee point than investing a lot of money and not getting the results that you're looking for. You know, I went to South by first on my own before trying to do business there. I went to CMJ on my own before doing business there. I went to Great Escape and Liverpool Sound City before doing business in UK. You know, like it's one flight as opposed to five. It's one hotel as opposed to many, right? So, right. You know, it, with artists thinking of a, like applying, sometimes it's better to like come see it first.
Right.
And experience it. And, you know, you can build the connections that when you do come back and perform, you already can invite industry that you met already. And they followed your story between the 12 months and there's more interest. So
absolutely. Now, to everyone tuning into this right now, if you'd like to hear more from Daryl, you can head over to our Patreon page to check out our exclusive Encore series where we'll be chatting with Daryl about some specific things that you should and shouldn't do when applying for festivals. And this special series is just for our patrons, so don't miss it. Now, where's the best place for people to connect with you online, Daryl?
Online, probably if it's email, daryl.hers@indieweek. I'm cool with giving that out. And then I've got a website coming at daryl.hers.com, but truthfully, canada.indieweek.com is where we post everything.
Perfect.
So. Cool. Awesome. And if you want more from Bridge the Atlantic, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up one of these bad boy shirts while you're there.
As for me, I'm working on my new solo album, and you can check out my music on Spotify and iTunes and just about everywhere and anywhere you like to stream or download music. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
And I am working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, and Social Surge. All links are in the description, so please check them out because they do what, Ross?
They keep the show alive.
Beautiful.
And if you would like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. We have recently updated our rewards, which now include sponsorship at the start of our interviews, an opportunity for you to co-host an episode, and of course gain access to our new Encore series. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and iTunes so you don't miss any episodes, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show.
Daryl, this has been fantastic, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Great, thanks for having me. Well, you guys are doing great, and I hope everybody tunes in and supports you guys, because this is fantastic.
I really appreciate that, man. That means a lot. And see you on Encore.
You bet.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.